Cambridge Radio
with Alex Elbro.
It's just gone 11:30 and it's time to talk to my guests who are from the musical Sad Little Island. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Would you like to introduce yourselves and say what you do within the team?
Of course, I'm Amelia and I am one of the co-directors and co-choreographers and I also have snuck into the ensemble.
I am Ben. I'm a cast member. I play the Tin Pot Foreign General.
That was in the title that I couldn't really pronounce.
Yes, it is.
The very long title. Now, this story of building this musical has come from quite a long time, hasn't it, really? Do you want to tell us the story about that and how it's come about? Because it's a really interesting story.
Absolutely. So the musical is written by my stepdad, Chris Adsed, and he's been writing this musical for, I believe, about 12 years. And he came to me about 6 years ago and said, I've got a musical. And obviously when your dad comes to you and says, I've written a musical, the appropriate response is rolling your eyes.
And ignoring.
But then I listened to it and I was like, oh, this is actually quite good. So about 3 years ago, we got some cast involved. Ben was one of the original cast members that we got involved. Hello. And it's just sort of spiraled from there to the point where we've now got a full cast of 12. We've got a theatre space and we're doing a full production, which is exciting.
I mean, that must feel a little bit surreal in some ways.
Oh, absolutely. The fact that it's a proper show.
Yes, yeah. And so the story is based on the Raymond Briggs story, which is basically also itself based on the events of the Falklands War. Now, Chris, obviously as your stepfather, is probably a little bit older, so he remembers that like I do. I vaguely remember it because I was at uni at the time and it was all just happening, but it must have sort of impacted on his head when he was involved in lots of musical stuff before and probably thought this could make a really interesting kind of one of the darker musicals, I would say. Mm-hmm. Rather, you know, the ones that tell a story that has that gets you thinking.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I know that Chris also had some friends who were in the Falklands, and one of whom is Will Kevins, who's actually written a song for us.
Oh, wonderful.
In the show. So it's been really lovely to have sort of a Falklands vet as part of the show. And his song is absolutely beautiful as well.
Yeah. And Ben, you are involved in this and you are playing the Tin Pot Foreign General.
Yes, I am.
So I won't say who he's, well, you can if you want to say who he's kind of based on, but he is what he just says. As in, so a lot of these characters are kind of like caricatures, aren't they?
Yes.
How would you describe it?
He's an absolutely unhinged,
yeah,
narcissistic.
Remember, you're on radio.
Idiot.
Just checking.
Sort of, if you look at, yes, he is based on, loosely based on historical figure, but like looking around at some of the people in the world today,
yeah,
it's very easy to draw inspiration from them when playing a power-hungry madman.
Yes.
Which has been a lot of fun.
Yeah. Because I say that the original story is from 1984, but really, even though it deals with the Falklands War, it could be kind of any war, any conflict, yeah, and that's going on, like say, right now, sadly. But going back as well. So it's a great topic to kind of get your teeth into in a way.
Yeah, it's, so yes, the source material is based on one particular war, but the show itself is very pro-peace. It can be sort of any conflict it can apply to, how the main villains are the leaders, really.
Absolutely.
That are,
yeah,
putting these poor people,
yeah,
into a war, and how they are essentially the same and bad, and then the people fighting the war are also basically the same
on both sides,
and yeah, they're the victims in the,
yeah, yeah. No, I think it sounds like it's going to be one of these that you come away and it comes back to you start thinking about, reflecting on over time. Now, how did you go about kind of bringing the musical to life? So it's all very well having it on paper and him writing it, and you know, both of you be involved in musical theatre in this area and other areas, Norwich and London as well. So how did you kind of, the vision for doing the choreography, which you're doing as well, Amelia? Just add to everything else you're doing.
The first sort of things we did, we looked at doing some recordings. So we had Ben, we had Emma, we had a couple of other cast members come in and do some recordings. So thinking about the sort of vocal aspects of the characters, which was nice to sort of, I don't know what you think, but developing those characters just vocally was a really interesting way, because it's not usually how you do a musical. You'd usually have the whole character together.
Yeah, you'd have an idea of what more of what they'd be, instead of just this is the voice that they are going to have, this is the way they're going to sing this song
without sing. So like more like at the radio kind of image. That you have to put the imagery into how it sounds. I guess
absolutely
just a bit of paper in front of us, microphone,
yeah,
making funny noises in a shed for an afternoon, and then go back in a couple of weeks, do it again. And then I mean, from my perspective, it was that, and then months later, I get a phone call going, we're doing more things. And that's...
Because we then, after we'd done some recording, we then moved to a sort of semi-staged version. We were at the Blue Moon in March this year, and we did about an hour-long sing-through, so it wasn't a full production, but it was looking at an abridged version of all these songs, putting it together with a little bit of character, but we were all standing at microphones.
I guess to see how the flow would be as well.
Yes.
Because until you get it onto a stage, I guess it doesn't really and work. And also you had an audience then to give feedback, didn't you? Like a critic audience, not, you know, that you asked if people want to come along and see, to give you the feedback, not just to say, oh, I like that. And they need, you needed to know which bits made sense, I guess, and didn't.
Worked, which bits didn't, which could be changed, and that was really helpful.
Yeah, and I think the nice thing with this has been the feedback is invaluable, because it's not going to be something that's right first time, because nothing is. And although the source material we've got is great, we've really, really spent a lot of time developing it over the last few years. We got a fantastic musical director on board, Jamie Layfield, who got all the sheet music together for us.
Which is another thing, isn't it? You know, you can write that, and then you think, hang on, how am I going to share this with other people if you've just been, you know, thinking it in your head or just playing it into a voice record?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, we spent a long time on just voice recordings, and it was not as easy as now we've got lovely Jamie in and some sheet music. And then we started, we then recruited some more cast. So we auditioned in August, and now we've got a 12-strong cast, which is nice. It's the biggest we've ever been.
I mean, that's quite a big cast, isn't it, for a show? And it's at the Corpus Playroom, so it's in the round, isn't it? So you've got to also be aware of that when you're doing. And I guess for directing it, Amelia, and choreographing it, you've got to make sure that you're kind of doing it at different directions or whatever. I don't know.
It's an interesting space because it's not quite in the round, but there's two sides of the audience, which I think for a musical, and especially for choreography, is a real challenge, because you don't want to, obviously you don't want people to miss stuff, but also it's been a nice opportunity to think about things differently. I know most of the shows I've done, especially the musical theatre shows, are proscenium arch.
Yeah.
You're on stage, the audience are in the audience, whereas actually having a different space and a more interesting space to work with has been really nice, and I think the cast have really risen to that challenge as well.
Yeah, it's first time I've done anything that's not just the audience are in front of you.
Yeah.
Do it at them.
Yeah, so I guess that's the other, that for the whole cast to learn to just do it in a slightly different way. Mm-hmm. And will you be mic'd up or not for that?
We are not.
No, I didn't think so, because it's such a small space. So again, you can, when you've just got the audience in front and you've got a mic, and even if you could turn your back and you know that they'll still be able to hear, you can't do that in that space, can you?
Or if you do, you turn your back and you have to shout
really shout. Well, as playing the general, I guess you can get away with that more.
There's a lot of shrieking.
But also, Amelia, you sort of stepped back from, because it was one of your, you know, you started the ideas going with your stepdad. You must have thought at some point, oh, well, you're playing these characters, but then you said, I'm going to take more of the director's role and choreography, and I need to step back and let somebody else do that.
Absolutely. I think the I was lucky enough to sing one of the young women's roles, who's the sort of partner of one of the soldiers. And we actually took the view that the really important thing for us is that we feel the real horror of war. And I think part of that is the fact that these people are children.
Mm.
These girls and the young lads are 18, 19. So actually bringing in a cast that reflected that and being the correct age, as much as it pains me, obviously, to be too old to play the role.
Too old.
I know. Only just. But that's also been really nice to have a bit of a step back from it and to work with these fantastic young performers.
Yeah, yeah.
The cast
and that's
we've got was
a
so
really
lucky.
Good point about the horror of war and the youngsters. I think we forget that because a lot of the veterans we see, of course, a lot older now for some of these wars. You forget that they were just children. Mm-hmm. You know, 1670, some of them went in before they were even allowed to be going in. And yeah, and it's no age, is it? Even 18, 19, 20 or whatever. So that's a really good point. I think that sounds like it's really going to work. Now, tell us all about the details about going to see it because I'm very excited about it. It sounds really interesting.
So we're at the Corpus on the 8th, 9th and 10th of January. We've got shows at 7:30. Book through the ADC or the Corpus website. I'm just really hoping people come along and have a look. We're going to be really looking for feedback. There'll be opportunities for feedback. And I encourage people not to be shy about that because we want to learn and we want to develop. But also we hope that you're going to have a nice evening of theatre and something that's a little bit different.
Yeah. It's cheap as chips as well. It's like between £4 and £8 for a ticket. I mean, you can't go much wrong with that.
Especially after Christmas.
Exactly. When, you know, come and see us. You'll be making a very sensible financial decision.
I like that. I like Ben's gone hard on that part.
Yeah. A wonderful marketing strategy.
Yes, exactly. But it's true. And if you want to see live, brilliant live theatre, and all the people in it are excellent. I know from you know, I can see the cast and know that what they've done before. There's not going to be anyone in there that you're going to be worried about what they're doing.
Oh,
I mean,
no.
You wouldn't have picked them otherwise.
And the cast are. What I've really enjoyed is working with them on developing something because they've been really patient with us. Because obviously when you get given a script and you get given a score and you do an established musical, you do what you're given and you work with the cast. Whereas for this, it's, oh, we'll actually change the length of that song and this dialogue is being written with the cast and we're changing this and this is happening. And the cast have been so patient and so enthusiastic in bringing forth their ideas as well.
It's a brilliant opportunity, isn't it, for someone to do as well, to get involved right from the beginning and make it, you know, you're the first people that have played this. Mm-hmm. So when it gets to the West End and it starts, and it's, don't laugh. This, I have faith that, you know, this people that will see it now will be seeing it in its very first stages. It's really exciting. And what a great Christmas present at a very cheap cost.
Very cheap.
Absolutely.
It is great. It is about war, but there's funny bits in it, there's saucy bits in it, there's, you should laugh, the score, the annoyingly talented Liam Taylor has spent many, many moons tweaking bits and bobs and making it all sound really good.
Is there a youngest age that you would say not to, you know, what age from would you suitable for?
My sister is 13 and she has watched rehearsals and has had no problems at all. There's no swearing, there's no inappropriate language. There are some scenes, as Ben said, that are a little bit saucy.
Okay.
But it's nothing that wouldn't be acceptable in a PG.
Yeah. Oh, well, there you go. That's a really good thing to know as well. And is it all through? How long is the show? Is it?
The show.
Well, I know it may vary slightly.
Yes, a little bit. The show's coming about an hour and a half, no interval.
Yeah, that's good to know as well. That's
one all the way through.
Yeah, brilliant. Well, thank you both for coming in. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
And good luck with it. Break a leg, I should say.
Thanks. Cambridge Radio.